What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Back to pass, looks to the right, has a open receiver. It's Zacchaeus who gets away from two defenders and races into the end zone for a 36-yard catch and run. Makes the handoff, rolls to his right. No one's open right now, trying to buy time. Fires to the end zone and caught in the back of the end zone for the touchdown, Tyler Scott. As Chicago shuts out Buffalo 38-0 in preseason game number two.
This is called a neuralizer. It's a gift from some friends from out of town. This red eye here will isolate the electronic impulses in your brains, and more specifically the ones for memory.
What? What preseason?
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
I was going to make a joke like Victory Monday. Well, it's not a Victory Monday, guys. Here we go.
803-0550.
We'll start with the phone number. Hey, it's Jeremy and Joe. Happy Monday. Not a lot of sleep for this guy.
No, I mean, you're up doing Bill's squad show after the game, and it's an 8 o'clock preseason game. Who's scheduling that?
Yeah, that's
come on.
That's what we call grinding. Love of the game. Love of the game right there.
Right to the very end. You didn't think...
We didn't.
We just record this one at halftime, fellas.
We did start with like 8 minutes left.
It was 28-0 at halftime. Like, I think the story might be written here a little bit.
There's plenty to get to on the game, and we'll talk about Sean McDermott's comments as the Bears get a 38-0 beatdown of the Bills. And they have another embarrassing performance in the preseason, which you shouldn't be embarrassed about because it's the preseason, and they sat most of their players of consequence. It's a second straight year they get roasted by the Bears.
Uh-huh.
So take that for what it's worth. They also have had not up to our standard games before. And whatever. That's fine. Part of last night's game, if you went to bed early, consider yourself lucky. If you skipped it, consider yourself possibly lucky. One review I have of this game is, I'm going to make a golf comparison. Shocker. But when you're at a golf course and you see a group that is painfully slow, and they aren't letting someone through. When I see those moments, I feel physical anxiety for those people because I can't imagine what it's like to not know you're ruining everything here. You're ruining this course. You're destroying the pace of play. I feel anxiety for that. They don't know that.
Right.
That's how I felt about the officials last night.
Oh, man.
Another flag?
Listen, if the Bills...
What are you doing?
I think the Bills had a tough night. Stripes.
Another review? Guys, what's going on out there? The commissioner should have called. Fellas, folks, this is a preseason Sunday game in Chicago. We do not need to be reviewing these plays. Redo the second half kickoff? Do not do that. Why would anyone think you should do that? This is the group, again, that's slowing people down. Guess I got to go back to the tee and tee off again. No, you don't. Pick up and concede the hole. Right. No one cares here, folks. That game was a disaster on every level. That was a preseason game we were subject to. The Sunday night crew, we got Greg Olson. We got a grade
Greg
A broadcast.
Olson. Yeah.
A top-tier broadcast and officials that were paid by the word.
Yeah. How about the review of the spot of the ball to inevitably get a challenge on a play that was
beautiful,
so clearly a drop, and like we wasted, what was it, 8 minutes?
Remember, Joe, that's going to streamline things, right?
Yeah, well,
streamline it.
Get the counter ready. Number one on preseason for everybody.
My favorite part of that was when Pereira got to, they asked him about the Hawkeye, and he was like, yeah, it's going to be pointless. I don't know why we're doing
said,
this.
He said, not only did he say it's going to be pointless, he said the league is really eager, or did he use the word hot?
He's hot.
He said hot.
The league is really hot to show this off.
Which is why they did McDermott want to challenge it, and they're like, hey, Sean, just keep it in your pocket for a minute because we want to show this off a little bit.
We got to show off this technology that doesn't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
This technology, the league, I feel like I'm just patting my own self on the back here, but I told you all the time, they want people to think they have solved the problem.
Yeah.
And that's why they're hot to show it, because they still think that 40% of viewers will be like, well, I mean, hey, the chip's in the ball. I guess they were short, which, of course, is not how it works. Oh, man, officiating. Mike Pereira. In that review, also in the first quarter, he said, you know, guys, I'm assuming that blah, 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 blah. He's just guessing. A rules analyst comes on the screen in the first quarter of a preseason game to tell you he's just guessing what's happening on the field. It is 6:07 a.m. on a Monday, and we are here talking about 38-0 beatdown and officiating. Well, the Bills get smoked by the Bears.
Yeah, they had what was it, 120 something yards of total offense. What did they have? Frank Gore had like half their offense last night.
Yeah,
I know that. The final numbers came to 180. And he had 81. Of the 180. 528 to 180. If that were a regular season game, it'd be one of the biggest disparities in NFL history in terms of total yardage. 528 to 180. Caleb Williams played, so that helps, right? I mean,
he was great.
I had one group chat. The guys actually went away for a fantasy football weekend this week, and they're all like, look at this disaster in the first quarter. I'm like, guys, settle down. Look who's covering DJ Moore.
Right.
Codrington. Codrington is covering DJ Moore. He's a punt returner. Like, they don't care enough to put a real corner on him. They've got the punt returner covering the number one receiver. You don't have to care about it, especially the Bears starters just torching the Bills. Andreessen's covering Colston Loveland.
Right. Andreessen in coverage, which is something the Bills would try to avoid an awful lot. You do not want him in coverage, and he's covering Colston Loveland.
Right. In space, did he go ninth overall? Like, he was a top 10 pick, wasn't
he? Yep.
So, like, they had backups in against starters. I don't know if that's the excuse for the second half, you know, them still getting 0 points. But that at least was the start of the game for me. Like, this should look like this. The Bears are playing their guys, and the Bills are not. How many starters were even in for the Bills? One? Cole Bishop?
It's Cole Bishop.
And not that he looked great either, but.
And there was one other. Josh Palmer played briefly.
He caught, snaps. I got him here. One catch for 2 yards.
Okay.
For Josh Palmer. Yep.
Cole Bishop. I guess we'll have to decide how worried we should be about Cole Bishop and how worried the Bills will be about Cole Bishop. I mean, he's a young player who's not been on the field, and McDermott in postgame said he needs the reps. He was on a rep count. He might have played more, so he's still kind of coming back from whatever the injury is, right? Like, he's still working on that because he's on a rep count. And he got torched, I guess. Some of that's probably not his fault on every one of those plays. Maybe he misdiagnoses something. Maybe he's a little slow to get someplace. Or maybe the rest of the defense is also backups. I mean, I saw a lot of reaction to Damar Hamlin out there again. Like, right? Backup safeties. Like, these are your backups against the Bears starters. And the Bears, I thought this was a good point made by Jerry Ostrowski last night as I was listening to what he had to say. And he said the Bears, they want to prove a point. They want to tell everybody, we're here, take us seriously. It's Ben Johnson. He's got stuff to gain. It doesn't count in the standings, but it's a home game. It's the debut of, you know, his new look offense in Chicago. And what are the Bills? The Bills are not quite Tiger Woods in a practice round where you want to try some funky stuff. But they don't really care.
The Bills are the what would be the right sport here? This is gym class.
Yes.
And the Bills are the starting quarterback on the varsity football team. And guess what we're doing in gym class today, guys? We're playing flag football.
Right.
And here come the Bears, like, trying to go 100 miles an hour. And what's the varsity quarterback doing?
Sitting on the side.
Like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, throwing paper airplanes. Who cares? I don't need to do this.
That's kind of a little bit of how I felt about last night's games. Like, the Bills just, I mean, McDermott will talk like he cares, and he has to, I think. But, and maybe you would believe that he really does to some degree, but their lineup would tell you that they don't really care if they lose this football game.
Right.
No one's going to remember it. right?
Nope.
What do you remember about preseasons? Remember, I guess they got shellacked by the Bears last year, but vaguely. And the Steelers once had the greatest preseason of all time and then won like 8 games. So
yeah, last 2 years ago, right? The Kenny Pickett preseason.
Yeah, they were like perfect in 4 preseason games.
The 0-16 Lions famously went 4-0.
Yep. Yeah, there's a million examples.
A million. And, you know, what do you remember about the preseason? If they get hammered by the Bears next year, we'll say, oh, you know what? They got hammered by the Bears last year, too.
Yeah, I did remember, I tweeted out the screenshot, maybe I jinxed them, that they did once upon a time come back from 27 down against the Bears in a preseason game.
Yeah.
But they did not do that last night.
The Chiefs
score a single point.
The Chiefs last year went 0-3 in the preseason, also lost to the Bears.
Okay.
Lost to the Bears, Lions, and the Jaguars.
Maybe the Bears are just trying too hard in the preseason.
Well, it used to be the Ravens. The Ravens were the team that always tried and won in the preseason.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But I do think McDermott saying not up to their standards, like, that's – if you want to dig deep on what a coach is supposed to do, right, he's the guy that sets the tone for every practice. So when they get back to practice, what's he going to do? Walk in, ha-ha, slap backs, and say, eh, fellas, no big deal. Like, no, you can't.
He won't do that.
He can't do that. He's got to talk about the reps that mistakes were made. And for the players that are depth players that are trying to make this roster, whether that's Tyrell Shavers, who had a nice performance from him, if it's Landon Jackson, you're wanting to see him win his reps. If it's Cole Bishop, whatever. Like, you've got young players out there. They want to get them up to speed in the program and get their results from it. So, you know, he's going to treat this as not the end of the world, but he's mad about it. And I think he has every right to be, because they're pretty brutal. They're pretty brutal. But from a game plan perspective, right, like, what are you going to do? And if it's Josh Palmer, or if it's Elijah Moore missing a couple of catches, he had a couple of drops.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk about other concerning things in the preseason, Curtis Samuel didn't play, of course, because he's not playing because he's hurt all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got your stuff.
The backup quarterbacks.
Sure. I don't know. The backup quarterbacks, they played – Trubisky played with an offensive line that looked like the Bills decided to roll the dice like they're playing Yahtzee. Every player, shake it up, boom. All right, let's go with Chase Lunt at right guard and shake it up again. All right, Vandermark's at left tackle. Like, they were moving everybody around. So if you missed the game, you missed very little. You saw the Bills' uniforms and Brandon Bean in an interview with Greg Olson and who was the play-by-play guy last night? I forgot.
Joel Micheletti? No, that's not right.
Whoever it was.
I don't know.
His name was Josh.
Okay.
Josh Allen on the sidelines doing an interview about getting married. We get those a lot this year. You know, it is what it is. So, happy preseason. One more, and that'll be against the Bucs, and I wonder how much Cole Bishop will play in that game. I really think if there's one thing to come out of this game, I think it should be, well, whatever. Like, again, Bishop's out there trying to cover up for everybody else who's making mistakes too, but Bishop's been a story all year. They're leaning into him, they're trusting him. And he needs the reps. He needs the work. And McDermott saying he needs the reps is whatever. It's a statement to they got to try and get things on the same page by the time they play Baltimore. And I'm not sure if Bishop and Rapp will be, but it'll be a story all season long how long it takes those two to kind of spin up to speed and get what they need to be.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't do anything last night that would have made me any more hopeful about what he'll look like at the start of the year, if he's even out there. I'm also wondering about who makes the team at receiver again. Shavers looked okay yesterday. He didn't get the ball a lot. There's two Elijah Moore drops in there yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got everyone in the Bills media tweeting out like, oh, not a lock for the roster. Like, that was just like, it felt like that one was like in the drafts from everybody, just waiting for a moment. And then there it was. And then like, it might not be a lock. And I thought that more about Samuel, but you know, there's a couple drops by Moore, only caught one pass on 4 targets. And he's playing out there, so
yep.
In a game where most of your important guys aren't playing a lot.
Well, they've got a thing here, and this is less about preseason and more about roster construction. Did you see Joe Biscaglia of The Athletic suggest that Ogunjobi could be a cut candidate?
I did not see that, no.
Okay. Which, if he were to be
suspended.
If he were to be cut, the Bills would eat so much dead cap for a guy that like you just sign and cut. And here's Samuel and Moore. I mean, Samuel probably makes the team because of contract. And Moore, if he were not to make the team, I mean,
Moore's cap hit is exactly the same whether he's on the team or not.
Okay.
It's $2.5 million.
Yeah, that's
so but, it's $2.5 million if he makes the team, and it's the dead cap figure is $2.5 million.
Right, that's because they gave him $2.5 million guaranteed on a right. 1 year deal to round out the receiving core after they went to the draft and didn't take anybody of significance.
Right.
They go with Elijah Moore, which all right, that could be a good idea. And here we are. It is August 18th, and he might not make the team.
So really, I don't know what the better way to do that would be. Who's saving you more money? You release Elijah Moore today, savings $0. You release Curtis Samuel today, and it's $400,000. Really, it's the same thing,
right?
So you kind of have the money tied up in both of them. And I don't know, do they feel like they'd rather have neither of them right now?
Yeah. Doesn't it feel like you'd rather have...
I don't know, well, I don't know if that should be true of Moore. Samuel's not on the field. Like, camp, maybe it's been quiet for him, but... Has anyone said he's had a bad camp? Maybe that's part of the message last night, is that, hey, his camp hasn't gone that well. And now here's a couple drops in a preseason game. But we haven't been coming in every day saying, oh, man, Elijah Moore looked rough today.
No, that's right. And I shouldn't say you'd rather have neither of them on the team, because you don't want to elevate, a K.J. Hamler and Christian Wilkerson. But
K.J. Hamler.
It is a position.
He looks good when the ball's in his hands.
He does. He looks fast.
He's fast.
It is a position that occasionally we do talk about, and sometimes it tends to get memorable. But anyway, the Bills lose to the Bears 38-0. Final tail of the tape in yardage was 523 to 180.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank Gore Jr. looked pretty good. Other than that, you had Frank Gore Jr. and Shavers, and Jordan Hancock looked good before he left with a shoulder injury.
Yeah, yeah.
He said in the locker room he's fine. So for what it's worth, we'll see if he is fine. Mm-hmm. He said he's fine. We'll get some calls in. You want to react on the Bills' second preseason game? Have at it. We're here to tell you what happened, bring you the sounds from it, and don't accuse us of freaking out. We all stayed up to watch a game on a Sunday night that ended up 38-0 and was a flag-ridden slog. So cut everybody some slack. Mike in Connecticut leads us off. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Just a couple things. I usually come a little bit more organized, but I haven't called the show in a while. But I would say I'm probably in one of the top percentile of optimistic Bills fans, but it was so bad. I went to bed last night at the third quarter. But just a few things I want to point out. I don't know how, well, there's a few. The first one is, I don't know how Dane Jackson can make this roster. I thought, he was in that bucket of Levi Wallace and, Kevin Johnson when we got him from the Texans. Just that complimentary cornerback to that, is solid. But I understand he was not out there with starters, but one, I don't know how he is rosterable. Two, I don't like to overreact because I like to give guys times, but I've just been super unimpressed with Landon Jackson. And it just looked like he's so slow. He doesn't move that great laterally. And I don't know. I'm very interested to see what the Bills do with the defensive line, because I feel like regardless with Ogunjobi and Hoyt having suspensions, I just don't know who the Bills are, going to have to make a tough decision on. It's like you draft Dwayne Carter in the third round, and some people thought he played well last night. I didn't specifically, wasn't just watching Dwayne Carter, but it's going to be very interesting to see what the Bills do. And in terms of the last two things I'll say is the wide receiver room. Obviously I don't know everything or watch every single thing about special teams, but, I really like Shavers. I think he's been really consistent, and I like the steady growth. And for the most part, he seemed sure-handed last night. Elijah Moore, higher pick. He just looks so underwhelming. And lastly, I'll say, I know the Bills were shuffling around people last night, but I don't know, Ryan Vandermark, especially being a guy who's been around, I just unimpressed. And just kind of want to hear your guys' thoughts on that. And obviously, It's preseason. I don't like to overreact, but
yeah.
I don't know. Just there's certain things that I feel like you expect from guys who have been in the locker room a little bit longer, and that's it. A
couple things, Mike. I got two. Quick on Landon Jackson. He definitely does not look fast or agile or bendy, and that's some of the stuff you heard about him. He's supposed to be a power guy, power defensive end. He might be really good at setting the edge for them. He's a young player, but right, if you're looking for bendy, twitchy pass rusher Landon Jackson. I just don't think that's who he is.
No.
And then on the receiver room, and this is something I thought on the way in today. Consider that for a moment, how much I think about wide receivers. And I had this thought today in the 5 o'clock hour. I thought, you know, when it's all said and done, all of our how are they going to get by at receiver, it's not going to come down to who we thought it comes down to. It really is going to come down to whether or not Palmer and Coleman are good. Those are the two guys that are going to matter on whether or not the receiver room is good. Because Elijah Moore or Curtis Samuel or Shavers or tossing the next guy up when somebody gets hurt, these are the third, fourth, fifth receivers on the board, fourth, fifth, sixth. And it's Shakir, who we know is good. And who else is going to be good? Is it going to be Palmer or Coleman? They're going to need one of those two to be good. And if one of those two is good, then they're probably fine because they got pass catching backs that they'd like to use. Kincaid. That's another thing about this game yesterday. There's no presence from tight ends without Kincaid or Knox out there. So
no, Latu, you know, with a bad drop yesterday.
Right, and Davidson,
not that he was going to make the team anyway.
No,
probably,
Davidson's had a terrible preseason with lots of mistakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would almost want to say, like, take it for what it's worth. When this offense is operating the way it wants to, you know, they're utilizing tight ends and backs, and that's an offense last night that didn't really do that.
I will say, though, I am disappointed that we are sitting here on August 18th, and it feels like the Elijah Moore, Curtis Samuel combo right now is just at a zero for them. Because, sure, they are not high on the depth chart when you come into to training camp and into the preseason, but both of them have had a profile that made me think they could help a lot on and make an impact on offense this year. Moore's profile as a player, Samuel, some things he's done in the past, not with the Bills last year. And maybe this is not giving Shavers enough credit, or maybe I'm doing too much with the draft status of these players, but I considered Moore and Samuel players that could help them a lot on offense this year. And as good as Shavers has looked in camp and preseason, I just never really give any real possibility to the fact of him making an impact on the offense. Like, he can make the team, and he can come in and block and maybe catch a pass every other game, but I've never considered the possibility that Tyrell Shavers is actually making a week-to-week impact on the offense the way...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
That I considered that for Moore and Samuel.
Yeah.
So for them to be having bad summers here, or if you want a bad August, if that's even fair to say about them, I think that should be a disappointment.
And that's even if you want to consider Samuel as having a summer, because he's been out the entire time, missed all of camp.
Right.
And he's getting close to a return. And that's one thing about the Bills' numbers game that'll get interesting. I almost wonder if they wish Samuel was not close, because he's getting close.
Because then you could put him on IR or something. Yeah.
It's going to force a decision on what to do and who's got to go. And, I mean, Shavers has done enough to make the team. And whether that's cutting or saying goodbye to Elijah Moore, I don't think you're going to do that with Curtis Samuel. We did get a couple of trades in the NFL yesterday, so maybe
John Mechie was one of them, right?
John Mechie, who has played sparingly.
Yeah, he was a second-round pick. He missed a year with leukemia, and then he's been like a backup for Houston.
Yeah, nice player. Is Alabama, right?
Yes, John Mechie? Alabama slot receiver.
Yeah. 803-0550. It's a football Monday to a degree. The Bills get hammered in the preseason in Chicago. They kind of no-show. We'll get you some of Sean McDermott's comments. Pam Oliver on the sideline talking with Josh Allen. We'll get to, if you missed that, maybe we can have a conversation about their conversation. She asked him about help in the draft on the offensive side of the ball. So plenty to get to. Hope you enjoyed it last night. Whatever, it's football. Even when the Bills are getting hammered in a preseason game, we still get to watch the Bills. So it was an adventure.
0 points, though.
So. 0 points. Caden Davis missed a 57-yard field goal that they got as a gift because it was such a preseason game that the Bears just went for a fourth down at the end of the half.
Yep.
Like, sure, let's do something here. And the Bills went out and tried to kick a field goal, did not get it. On the receivers, on the defensive line, the young additions, on, you know, their performance last night, if you want to give us something you saw, We're happy to chat about it with you. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. It is chilly out there. It is quarter zip season.
Yes, it is.
It sure feels like quarter zip season. So make sure you're packing a layer because it is a little chilly this morning. Jeremy and Joe, your calls all day. Sal at 8 here on WGR.
I felt like we had moved in the right direction, you know, holistically coming out of that practice. And it's not that they still don't need work. They do. But tonight was a chance for us to also evaluate some of the other players on our roster. And in doing so, also hope to keep some of our starters healthy as well. So I was looking forward to seeing some guys with the opportunity tonight step up. And I didn't sense that as much as I'd hoped.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, I think we have found the, well, maybe not for every team, but for the Bills, the formula. Hey, who's the second preseason game against? Go ahead and schedule a joint practice. We'll get Josh out there for that, and then he won't play in the next game.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it was, well, it's raining. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe he would not have played because you thought he got enough work in the practice. And the Bills went out to Chicago. Josh Allen participates in the joint practice and then does not play in the game. I think it's the perfect answer. You want Josh to get preseason reps. This kind of does do that. You get live reps against another team, and they're all controlled environments. McDermott even said he had the whistle during that practice. So
yeah.
You get close to Josh Allen, he blows that whistle.
Yeah.
You know, like it works well, I think, for franchise quarterbacks. So the Bills had their joint practice. The Bears, by reading Bears accounts and Bears media accounts, had some nice plays in the joint practice. The Bills did as well. Keon Coleman with the touchdown. You know, some nice moments for both sides. We'll talk about it with Sal at 8 o'clock. And then the game is just all Bears. The preseason is to be taken seriously enough where you would wonder if the league wouldn't even call the Bills and say, you know what, why don't you let the Bears drop like 38 on you? You know, like how about a 38-0?
That was a nationally televised game, though, yesterday?
Yeah.
It was on Fox. I mean, they probably don't want...
Eh.
If you're going to get any casual football fans to watch your game yesterday, you better hope it's like a tied football game.
Maybe.
If someone is looking around last night like, hey, let me see if you were like this last week. Like, is there a preseason game on tonight? Oh, it's a preseason game on tonight. Bears and Bills. Let me put it on. It's in the second quarter. It's 28-0.
It was like,
tough. I don't know about this. 28-0.
You're right for casual observers, but any NFL fan would say, like, oh, well, the Bills are good. I know that. How about the Bears? Oh, Ben Johnson. How about it? Looks good. Colston Loveland, Luther Burden, Olamide Zaccheaus.
That guy.
Everybody looked good.
Yeah, DJ Moore had a couple catches in this game, too. And
the only thing that looked bad from the Bears' standpoint is Luther Burden wearing 87. It's really tough. He is going to have to do a lot of work to rescue that number from the land of tight ends. Because...
Yeah, it's been since like Reggie Wayne, since 87 has felt.
A long time since a good receiver wore that number.
It might be Reggie Wayne.
Mohsin Mohamed. I feel like he's an 87.
That's an 87.
And for Burton to get that number back from the tight ends, he's got a big job ahead of him.
Yeah, he's gonna have to be fantastic. So
he had some big blocks in that game, Burton.
Yeah.
Crack blocks and, you know, good stuff. All right, we'll get some phone calls in. 803-0550. Why are we talking about receiver? Just watching Burton. Mike in Tonawanda. Hey, Mike.
What's going on, guys? I was wondering what you guys think of the idea of bringing in Justin Simmons. It's probably something that should have been done a long time ago. And while we're on the subject, you guys mentioned something. You mentioned Eagles, and I kind of bring this up. All the money that the Bills, you know, Bills are strapped with the cap right now, right? Where's all the money going other than Allen? And, like, where are the all-pro players are sold for? Because you look at a team like the Eagles, I mean, they never have been strapped the cap, and they got a lot of, like, blue-chip all-pro players. I still understand, like, other than Allen and maybe Deion Dawkins, where's all the money, you know?
Yeah.
Where's the all-pro players are sold for that all that money?
So, thanks, Mike, for the phone call. The Eagles did just have a bunch of free agent guys leave, but in cap space, right, the Bills have the least cap space in the league right now, and Philadelphia has a good amount. The Eagles don't pay a lot of... you know what? Let me, like, pull up their contracts. They have high-priced guys, the Eagles do, right? If you just go on cap hit this year, it's Hurts, Lane Johnson, A.J. Brown, Mailata, Goddard, Devonta Smith. But what the Eagles do, there's a couple things. One, they move a ton of money in void years forward. So they lower cap hits in a big way. Like, Barkley just got a big extension. His cap hit this year is $6 million. Devonta Smith's is $7.5 million. Zach Bond just signed a deal. His cap hit is 4.3. Mm-hmm. The Eagles have five, count them, five double-digit cap hits this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a lot, right? You want to know where all the money is for the Bills? There's probably a really good scientific way to do this. The Bills also have five cap hits in the double digits. They do have three guys with $9 million cap hits, mm-hmm. and that's Daquan Jones, Curtis Samuel, and Connor McGovern mm-hmm. that are nine. So if you go eight and above, the Bills have a bunch. And how many above eight do the Eagles have? Still only those five.
Yeah.
So
it's guys that you paid years ago that you're not necessarily wanting to extend right now.
Like,
isn't that it? Right? Like, in fact, they did this with Milano where they actually shed a year off his contract.
Mm-hmm.
You're not comfortable right now with saying to Matt Milano at 30 years old, coming off all those injuries, hey, cap it's $12 million a year. We want to extend you for three more years to get that lower. You wouldn't do that with Milano right now. You wouldn't do that with, I mean, maybe you would think they'd do that with Dawson Knox, but they haven't. You wouldn't do it with Daquan Jones.
No. Nope.
You wouldn't do it with Curtis Samuel. And I guess you could have thought they would do it with McGovern, but it's almost interesting to me that they haven't done it with McGovern. To say he's been the center, he made that position switch, and it's looked pretty good. And still, $9.3 million, that feels like a natural, hey, three more years, and let's get that number down to four. And they've said no. Well, so far they've said we're not interested.
So where's all the money? Is it on middle-class contracts?
I think so. It's on middle-class contracts, and it's on, you know. And the other part of that is where the all-pro players for the money you're spending. I mean, they're not really paying anybody a all-pro number. Right? Like,
no, but
Dawkins starts approaching that a little bit.
You can't really do that because for the Eagles, again, his A.J. Brown's cap hit is 17, which is, you know, $3 million more than Dawson Knox. And he's asking specifically about the Eagles
the cap,
here. Dallas Goedert's cap hit is 10. Knox's is 14. You know, like, the Eagles spread the money out more than almost any team. The Bills use void years like this as well. I don't want to get too far in the weeds. One of the reasons, this kind of gets to it again, like one of the reasons I always want to talk about drafting receivers is because the Bills have two to three guys on this team where the money is just, it just kind of doesn't match up with what they get. Samuel is one of them. Elijah Moore, 2.5, like that's off the street. Like, okay, that's not a lot of cap space. I can't worry about that too much. Josh Palmer's 11 per year for 3 years. Like that cap hit's going to show up eventually.
Yep.
I just think the Bills have a mindset of draft and develop and pay your guys and keeping good players, which Bean talked about that last night on the broadcast, that this is something we want to do. We've talked about it. He mentioned the Pegulas as part of this and McDermott. Draft and develop and sign your own. And this year it was five guys that they drafted and developed and signed their own. So should you sign every B player or should you say, no thanks, they're not A-plus guys? You know, the Bills have a mindset of keep the B guys, keep the B plus guys, keep maybe even the B minus guys because it's better that than, you know, going into the desert on some of these positions. So I don't know, Mike. I hope that answers it as best we can. It's probably not exactly the right answer, but what the Eagles do, a lot of it is they push so much money into the future. If you're just doing it by year, like multi-year cap table. Let me pull that up for the Eagles.
Yeah, because like I would guess like 5 years from now, the Bills have a lot of space and the Eagles have like the least in the league.
Well, the Bills have, I think the Bills have the second least, and that's in part because of Allen being signed.
Sure.
But right, if you just look at 2030, the Eagles have $148 million committed in 2030.
Already? That's crazy.
The Niners have 92, the Bills have 89, the Jags 77. But that means the Eagles have almost twice as much money committed in 2030 as the Bills. Okay. And that is not money for players that are going to be playing in 2030.
No, they'll most of those guys probably are gone.
Right. They're expecting to just say, who cares about the cap? We're going to be fine.
Right.
So, and that number, by the way, if you go off of 2030 and go to 2029, 28, 27, you know, the Bills have lots of money committed in those years. They're near the top. They're kind of near the top of money and committed right now to 2027, 2028, the Bills are, and 2029, they're number two. And then 2030, that's where the Eagles have, like, far and away the most. So some of it's contract structuring. Maybe this comes up because you're wondering about, hey, Trey Hendrickson, right? The Eagles are, or sorry, the Bengals are listening to offers on Trey Hendrickson. Can the Bills make that work? They'd need to find $19 million in cap space now. And that's not an easy thing to do.
No.
I mean, it's an easy thing to in hindsight, go say, you know, I don't need this guy or this guy or this guy. But you can't do that in hindsight. Thanks, Mike. Justin Simmons. You did mention Justin Simmons.
He was in Atlanta last year after being in Denver for a while and looking at his Pro Football Focus stuff. That went okay, but not great. 32 years old. I don't know. Like, what am I going to hear immediately about that idea? Like, Sal's voice in my head, how like they love their safeties to have all the reps and like experience in the system, right? And a guy walking off the street and starting, like, talent level, that might be there, but I guess I'm not sure that they would be willing to just start a guy at that position off the street compared to other positions.
It is a spot that I saw Jay Skursky, the news, tweeting this last night. Their addressing of the safety spot behind Cole Bishop was, you know, re-signing Hamlin and adding Derek Forrest for, I mean, almost nothing.
And if we heard from him at all.
Right. And so, the day of the draft, or 2 days before the draft, Malachi Starks came up as an idea, and Sal, you know, told us they're not going to take a safety. They like their guys. They like Rapp and Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how that comes together. Those two need reps. I wonder if we would be talking about them no matter what, if they still needed reps. It's a real prove-it position for us, right? A lot of their other spots have guys we know are good. Linebacker, fine. Good. Great, even.
Yep.
With Bernard and Milano. Corner.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I know Benford's great. Trey White, okay, we'll see. First-round pick Maxwell Hairston. Like, there's a lot of pedigree there, and there's at least one elite guy holding it down. Defensive line. Ed Oliver's paid. Rousseau's paid. Epinesa's a veteran. Bosa has had success. Like, if you're looking around the Bills' defense, the position to be confident, there's a few. And I think safety is one where almost no matter what, until we actually see them in the regular season, we're going to wonder, is that going to work with Rapp and Bishop? And I watched over the weekend, or just before the weekend, Brett Coleman of the Bootleg Football Podcast, who does hour and 20-minute breakdowns of every team. I mentioned this on Friday, Joe, when you were off.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said, for the Bills, they're going to be great again. They're going to be great, and they're going to play Kansas City, and we're going to see what happens if they can finally do the job. But his biggest concern for the Bills this year were two spots. Defensive tackle, have they done enough? And safety, can they hold it together? That's it. If you look at PFF grades, all the Bills' safeties grade terribly.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Coleman went so far as to say you could tell the Bills did not trust their safeties last year by the coverages they called.
Mm-hmm.
They did not play the normal McDermott defenses. He breaks down the Bills every single year. And what's different?
Yeah.
Like, their safeties are so problematic that they change the way they play defense to protect their safeties.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if they have to do that this year, if they can get those two on the right page, have it all come together, and kind of, you know, get loose once again. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you're joining us on the YouTube stream, welcome. Give us a like, give us a subscribe, and fire a comment our way as well. If you've never done that, you can jump in and you can join the bullpen as well. Or you can be listening on the app. Give us a call, 803-0550. Sal at 8, the Bills get...
There are a lot of adjectives.
Yeah. You
can use. I saw mauled,
slobber knockered. They get
slobber knockered.
They get waxed. They get bearsed, mauled. Yeah. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Hey everybody, happy Monday. What is the temperature outside right now? I walked outside. Good sleeping weather, had the window open, knew it was going to be chilly, and right now in Buffalo, the temperature is 55.
Love it. fall weather.
Yeah. High 74 today. Highs in the 70s a lot of this week. We got some rain over the weekend. Jeremy and Joe back here on WGR. Good morning. Buffalo Bills, preseason football Monday. You can give us a ring. We're happy to hear your takeaways, whatever. We're not going to yell at you for taking things too seriously, because I don't think anybody really does take things too seriously in the preseason.
I don't even know what you could really go – what would be worthy of getting, like, dude, you're taking it too far.
Sure.
Like, the season's in peril because Trubisky and Mike White got blasted 38-0. Like, that would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But Bishop – I guess you could do it about Bishop, right? Like, this dude stinks. Shouldn't play. Shouldn't start. Like, I guess you could go that far with it. He only played 10 snaps. So even that, like, you can't really do that.
I mean, Bishop's out there playing safety, covering over the top as Joe Andreessen's in coverage and Brandon Codrington's a corner.
Right.
And, like, they're not game planning.
That's right.
You know.
But that would be the take today that you could get, I guess, that would just be like too far.
Which, by the way, wouldn't really be any different than what you would have already thought, I don't think, right? I'm if you want to say nervous, it might be the wrong word. I am eager to see Bishop be what the Bills hope he can be.
That's right. Yeah.
It might be hard to see that in the preseason, but McDermott yesterday, we'll get a clip from him, asked if he's concerned about Bishop. He said he's got to play. And he said he's concerned about a lot of things after that game last night. So, you know, you kind of decide how much to read into what he had to say. We'll play it for you when you get back. Because he listed a couple scenarios that if you wanted to dig deep, you'd wonder how worried he is. Bishop and Rapp just have not played together. And Bishop has not played enough. He needs the reps. It's offseason number two for him. He needs reps. 803-0550. Will he play against Tampa? Jeremy and Joe, wide open phones for you. A call on Trey Hendrickson. Let's do that. Let's hear from you. Bills lose 38-0. Sal on the way at 8.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.